Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in.
Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time for Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I am so excited that you decided to join in and be a part of the action tonight. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And today we're going to really have a very interesting show. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But you know, there's always some things that need to be done when you invite people into your home. And so one of the first things that we do as we get prepared, as we make sure that we center ourselves in affirmative reading, and they're always taken from my daily inspirational that are on WordPress. If you're interested in signing up, it's revsandy.wordpress.com. So today's message that we're sharing is called wellness. Wellness is emotional, physical, and spiritual. How is your level of wellness today? I allow myself to release all non-essential emotional baggage. I carry a light load of happiness and joy. My bags contain only essential items of love, harmony, and cooperation. I pack my bags with compassion and mercy. I carry an ample supply of gratitude and thanksgiving. My bags pass all the security checkpoints. I am physically fit and improving daily. I exercise my body to be flexible and adaptable to life's requirements. As I sit, I stretch the muscles in my legs. While I type on the computer, I tighten and release my neck and shoulder muscles. I rotate my head and feel the tension release. I roll my shoulders and enjoy the relaxation to enter this area. I walk as often as I can. I breathe in the awesome air and allow it to circulate in my body. I reach towards the sky, giving thanks, and exhale as I bend forward. I receive the breath of the Creator circulating in every cell in my body. Daily, I devote time to my spiritual evolvement. I pray and relax. I meditate and give thanks. I am divinely guided through my meditations. God speaks to me as I become still and know I am a child of the Most High. I read and enjoy inspirational literature. I seek knowledge through feasting with other like-minded individuals. Together we encourage, support, and love each other to higher and higher levels of consciousness. My wellness increases and expands daily. I give my undivided attention to my own well-being, knowing that as I take care of me, I am giving my best to the universe. So that is our daily message from today. Again, that is from my daily inspirational messages, which are located at revsandy.wordpress.com. And the next thing that we do as we prepare to get into life, love, and wellness is we celebrate. In this celebration, involves our ancestors. We invoke and we invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us tonight and to be with us always. We have a new ancestor to welcome in to that realm, and his name is Mike Moore, a very dear friend of mine who just recently transitioned. Mike, welcome, and we know that your energies are with us tonight. We treasure the gift of the ancestors, and we give thanks, we give love, we give appreciation. So with that, ashe, ashe, ashe to our ancestors. And tonight's show, now, it's titled Developing Healthy Habits with Siblings William Safier and Sandy Rogers. You know, that's me and my brother. The only thing is that we're going to cover so much more ground, but it's all back around to a healthy habit. So if you're looking for just a one-legged type of presentation, that's not going to be what we have going on tonight. So thank you so much again for being with us. And if you're not on a call, you can give us a buzz at 516-531-9819. And for anyone that has a comment, you know your comments are always welcome. Nothing is too off color or too off point for us to respond to it and to listen to what you have to say. So everything is always, always welcome here on Life, Love, and Wellness. So I am going to play a quick song, and I was trying to get something from my brother and I. We've been around for a long time, so I wanted to get something that kind of celebrated that time frame, and I think I got the right one. I'm hoping that I do, but if not, you know what? We'll play another one in a few minutes. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get right into the show. So thank you for listening. And if you've never heard that before, it's called Bernadette, and it's sung by the Four Tops. And I believe that was during our time frame. It took me back to the memories anyway when we were coming up. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And again, I just wanted to make sure that you understand that you're welcome to call in and chat with us on air if you'd like. And our call-in number is 516-531-9819. You will simply press the 1 to let us know that you want to speak live on air. So I'm going to read the write-up or the promo information description for tonight's show, and then I'm going to ask my brother to join in with us, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to you. I could talk all night about him. That's my brother, but I want him to let you know exactly what it is that he would like for you to know about himself and his background. So tonight's show is Developing Healthy Habits. And so we said once we recognize or accept that we desire to change to a healthier lifestyle, how do we accomplish that? We are certain that we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And brother and I created a number one best-selling book regarding health, and it's called Natural Healing. Use Prayer, Food, and Energy Healing as Natural Remedies. And it is a very practical guide to being and living in a healthy state. So each of us have overcome our own health issues, and we became dissatisfied with what traditional medicine was prescribing, and it was not curing. So we sought different modalities, different methods, and we've been doing massive research and making commitments to ourselves. We conquered those diseases. And so we share from that success and that of hundreds that we have worked with and helped over the years. And so, again, tonight's show is called Developing Healthy Habits. My name is Sandy Rogers. I'm your host. And William Saphir is my brother, and he is on the line. I want to have William to come on and introduce himself, and then we're going to just get right into the conversation. William, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sandy. And that song, Burn,
hey.
That's perfect.
Good.
Know, it just brought the energy of the time. You know, it's one thing to bring memories and events, history. That's one thing. But when you bring the energy, you know, of a time, you know, and Bernadette certainly captures that, because the '60s, when we were growing up and in our teens and vibrant and moving and engaging life and all of our friends in the community, that was a powerful time for human history in the 1960s. And Bernadette certainly captures that. So that's almost perfect, Sandy.
Good, good.
And, yeah, so and with that, as Sandy said, I'm William Saphir. I was born William Armstead, and that transition that I made in my life, actually patterned after my grandfather. He had the same kind of spirit. He wasn't satisfied with carrying the slave master's name so he didn't want to identify with that. So he even changed his name, you know. And so in that same spirit, I chose after graduating from high school in 1966 and traveling from Los Angeles from Watts to Ohio, where I went to school for a few years. And eventually ending up changing my name. It was called William X for a while, and then later chose the name Saphir as my last name. So that's the name I have now that I chose. And that name, the role in that name that I've accepted as describing a very fundamental part of my life, and that's to be an ambassador. An ambassador for truth, an ambassador for the human spirit and the human soul in its fullness. I done a lot, as Sandy mentioned, both of us have over the years. My biggest achievement has been marrying my wife, Stephanie Safier, and growing together for the last 42 years, raising seven wonderful children, homeschooling them, constantly looking for better and better environments to create the kind of life that we wanted for ourselves. And it took us from we got married actually up in Chicago, but in the Midwest, and we lived in Ohio first, and we left from there after several years. We left there, we went back to California for about 10 years, and then we went to Texas. But each time we made the move, it was for getting a better environment for the family. And just what my life has been about, and I think that would be the basis of our discussion this evening, is coming into a better state of mind, a better state of heart, a better physical state. In other words, wellness, health, good health, healthy mind, healthy spirit, a healthy body. You know, it all goes together. And let's start from this, then. I mean, that's good enough.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Wellness is overall. You know, you're there.
It is indeed. Yes, I am. It is indeed overall.
Okay.
You know, we were blessed at some point a few years ago. We made a collective decision, you and I, to end the tradition of sickness in our family and the things that we just had accepted, the arthritis, the heart problems, the lung problems. Oh, God, I could go on and on. The allergies, skin problems, you know, the things we just accepted as being just something that was in our family, was in our genes, was passed on from generation to generation. And we just decided, you know what, Sandy, I'm sure you remember that conversation. We said it's going to end with us.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we made a commitment. We made a commitment. And once we took that decision, made that decision, took that stand, things start changing for us. And we just start doing things. We didn't know what, you know, to do, but we just started doing things, studying things, getting better and better information. And we were blessed with so much and so much progress that we decided to share with the world. So as a consequence, we produced the book Sandy mentioned a few minutes ago, natural healing, use prayer, food, and energy healing as natural remedies. And it became an Amazon.com number one bestseller with the support of our family and friends and those who really appreciated the work that we were doing. Sandy, you want to add anything?
I do. And the work that we've done has certainly branched out from that. And I just want to give a little background or a little history just so that you guys understand. And we didn't really fully appreciate this fact until just a week and a half ago when we were doing a function under our nonprofit called Keep America Strong. And we realized that we have been doing this work for 55 years. And so from one form of wellness, community development, community wellness, and the betterment for the world that we lived in. And so our search is always broadening when we realize what's needed for growth and a high quality of life and living. That's what we go after. And so this health part is real critical. And although we've just recently been working in the various sections of what wellness looks like, we have certainly been in working in the community for 5.5 decades to be the most effective that we can be with the people in the community. We do have a caller already, though, William, so let's see who this is.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. I'm on my laptop. It's a little. Okay, caller 206-271. You want to give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please?
This is Warren Armstead. I'm another Armstead, William. I'm up from VA.
Hey, Warren.
Hello, Sandy. How you doing?
Yeah.
Doing well.
I love
sweetie.
My family, by the way. Hey, Warren.
I love my family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. You know, we're all over, and I didn't know that, you know, until I got on Facebook. I see Armsteads everywhere, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, I like this topic. It's something that I'm real passionate about, health. You know, there's a lot of people in my family that have health issues. It's either high blood pressure, heart diseases, diabetes, you know, some died of cancer, and we just took it for granted, you know? We never thought about health. You know, the way we ate, we grew up under eating foods that was greasy, a lot of fat foods, not to say that all fat is bad, but anyhow, we just lived totally unhealthy, and the decisions that I made in my life was so extremely unhealthy, you know, but this is the one thing I've always did. I was consciously aware of being fit, and I believe that was in my heart and soul, right? Regardless of what I did, I stayed as healthy where I exercised a lot, but I didn't eat a whole lot. I ate enough to eat, but I didn't glut, you know, and so I always think about those things. I haven't did a lot of studying on health, you know, I just live life, you know, and it was just in my heart to try to be as healthy as I can, even though I was doing bad things. In the 60s, I started off doing a lot of drugs and smoking and things like that, right? And, you know, but I stayed exercising the whole time. And that's why I stress, I go on Facebook every morning and I do my post, you know, because God has given me this mission, you know, to address this health issue that we're suffering from, you know? And that's what I find myself doing. I have a passion for it. I have, it's a design for me to put it together and to bring what I know to the table, bring what I know to any platform that I possibly can. And I enjoy this show because we always speak. Sandy always brings this to the show. And I'm loving it because it inspires me to start to continuously speak about it, to continuously put it out there. I got family members right now that just all of the females are obese, right? I'm like, wow. How do I get to them? What message can I send to them to inform them that, look here, you're going to suffer if you're not suffering now, but you have to be.
Uh-huh.
When you walk around with all of this extra weight, it's bearing down on all of your joints, your organs are suffering, you know, and it's an ugly scene. There's nothing else. There's nothing cute about it, you know, and so how can you be have confidence, your self-esteem is high, you know, it's just, to me, it's a sad situation that needs to be talked about more than it's being talked about, you know, and I believe
But you know what happens, Warren, though, is that the media or the way it's publicized, you know, it's like thick as in, you know, because the powers that be know that the food that is being fed and served to us is what's causing us to be obese. And so it's not the person's fault necessarily, or not the person's fault, take the necessarily out, not the person's fault, because it's in the food. And so to keep us gorging on the stuff that we eat to survive, then they have to come around right with this thick as in type of deal. And not to say that all people that are thick are unhealthy, because some people are healthier than a smaller person. It's the obesity when it comes with being unhealthy is when that would be a reason for to look at having a healthier life. But just because you're large does not mean that you're unhealthy.
Totally true. I mean, you can just be a big person. There's three different body types. You know, some people are just naturally big. And they could be healthy, you know what I mean? But I don't, here's my thing. I don't believe that a person can just eat all of that food and not exercise and on the inside be that healthy. You know, it's just hard for me to imagine.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, you know, because there are people in this, people just naturally big, you know. But anyhow, it's all a part of wellness. You know, I have the five star of wellness, and that's the mental, physical, spiritual, family, and community. Those are the five stars that put you in that arena, that godly arena. You know, you have that spirituality that your soul is godly, you know. And that's why I try to get to. That's why I try to get to today. I wake up like you, you know, with a great attitude. The attitude, okay.
Exactly.
Grateful. Yeah, I'm grateful, I'm responsible, I'm humble, I'm honest, I'm open, and I'm willing to do all the things necessary to be healthy and to help others. You know, I'm on a path, you know, and those are
and
the
you
things
do that,
that
too.
Yeah, and those are the things that keep you in the game, in life. Those
exactly.
are the things that
keep
you from being in pain and suffering. I can go on, you guys, and this is not my show, but I can just keep talking about this.
Warren, brother of the family, man. You know, you bring so much. You bring so much to the table, man. You know, like as Sandy mentioned, it's in the food. But you know, you said some things that I hope people were listening to. It's not only in the food, because we eat food, right?
That's right.
We also ingest or eat words. And that's the crux of the problem, you know. There's a wise man some years ago that made a bold statement. He said, words make people. Words
that's right.
make people, yes. And your words are at the Sandy and I had a common association with a chiropractor, wonderful spirit, wonderful soul. He's transitioned now, but he had a favorite saying. He's always quote that old saying about stinking thinking, and it's those words that form the image that we have of ourselves. And it's the Big Mama syndrome, you know, you know, that women expect when they get at a certain age, especially African American women, black women, when they get a certain age, most of them expect to pick up weight at a certain point in their life, and they accept that as a part of life. We both the male and the female expect at a certain point because of this. We allow these words to go into our minds and into our hearts at a certain point in life. I'm just going to get sick. When I get old, I'm supposed to be sick.
Right.
I'm supposed to be, you know, out of overweight. You know, with the women, it may be the big buttocks. But with the men, it would be the big stomach or whatever, you know. But I'm just that comes with age, you know. I'm supposed to get sluggish, you know. I'm supposed to get tired. You know, all of those things that we've allowed to go into our mind and into our spirit, and those words form us, form our attitude, forms our perception, and goes into our as word patterns, and they form habits, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Form habits, and the habits create the results that you get in your life. And so the sickness,
and
you mentioned mental sickness. Spiritual sickness, physical sickness, social sickness, all of those diseases, all of them are diseases, you know.
You're
psychological
right.
sickness, yeah. But it all goes back to the same thing. It's what we allow to go into our mind, what we accept as our reality, what we accept as our direction for our life, what we accept as our the image of who we are, what we are. You know, that creates the problem. And that even is at the basis of the decision that we make in terms of what choices of food we're going to make.
That's right. I totally agree.
I'm going to cut in here for a second. So I'm on the West Coast currently, right? And so I have had the distinct honor of being with four elders over the last few days, ranging in age from 90 to 95. And I had made a statement a couple of days ago because there's three women and one man, and the man is 95, and the women are 90 and two at 93. And so the women seem to have a issue of repeating themselves and not really being in the best state of mind, but then they're also on a lot of different pills for whatever the various ailments that they're dealing with. And so that was what I thought was the difference, because the man, I thought, was not taking any meds, that he was just using some eye drops in for his vision. But I know that his mind is alert. So I spent several hours with him today, and this is what he told me. And I believe that this is what the big difference is. He says when he gets up every morning, he goes to his door, and he opens it up where he gets to the screen part of the door, and he breathes in fresh air. That's the first thing that he does every morning, and he gives gratitude for being alive that day. And then he follows that up with doing exercises. He's 95. But there is no days that he, unless he's in the hospital, that he does not do his exercise like first thing in the morning. Now, one of the ladies that's 93, she does work outside in the garden, but it's not a daily thing. And so as we get older, there's nothing in place that tells us you need an activity to keep your mind alert so that, you know, as you're going through your 80s and your 90s into your 100s, that you're still actively involved with life and living. Because when we, like William was saying, when we get to the point where we think we're going to be dead at 72 or 75 and we don't look beyond that age, then what have we done? We've actually created a coffin for ourselves, but we're still walking around alive. And so now the man, again, at 95, not necessarily have a hobby, so to speak, but he keeps himself alive and in a positive attitude by giving thanks to the Creator first thing in the morning. I thought that was incredible. I was like, well, there's a difference is right there. You starting the day with a positive mentality, with a positive attitude toward life and living. And but that was one of the things that I've noticed, is that of the four, even with the man at 95 being very healthy, he can do things with his body that I can't do. I think it's amazing. But we don't have, and for everybody that's listening to this call, to this show, please think about that. What would you do? What's going to be your new hobby or a different hobby when you get into your 70s, when you get into your 80s, into your 90s, that's going to keep your mind alert? Because like I think William was saying a minute ago, and Warren was saying also, you know, it's our mental state. You know, Dr. B spoke about that last week, talking about mental parasites, you know, and so I believe that that's where it all starts, because it's with the thought, and then the thought comes the word, and from the word comes the action. So I just wanted to inject that right there, because it's really been fascinating being with these things. I just absolutely love them.
And I totally agree. It's all about what you think, how you think. Those are thinking errors. When a person think about giving up, when a person think about, oh, they're too tired, or this is the way it's supposed to be, those are just straight thinking errors. A person can't continue to think like that and continuously be healthy. You're going to tear yourself down, and that's just too stressful. You know, it's
exactly
important.
Exactly.
This is what I do. I get up first. I don't need to get out of my bed. I wake up because God wakes me up, okay? and I get in a stretch, and I stretch every, my ankles, my neck, my, every part of my body before I get in a meditative state. And then I meditate. Then I pray. Then I get on and I post. I get up, I drink a lot of fresh, good water, and then I exercise. And it's so cold outside, sometimes I went out there one day and thought I was going to get out, because I always set a goal. Every day I work out, I set a goal on what I'm going to do. And I didn't make that day because it was freezing. But anyhow, that's my mentality. The willingness to do something, to stay healthy as long as I can. I'm not going to settle for the life expectancy of our, especially black folk. What is that, 65 to 75 or something like that? You know, I'm not quite sure. But, hey, we're dying off too young. And I just refuse to accept that. It's not acceptable to me, you know. Yeah. And I would like, and that's why I do what I do. And there, and I got a big, there's some bigger goals for me, you know. I mean, it's real clear what I'm supposed to do in this life. And that's what I'm on the mission to do.
And you make a powerful, Warren, you make some powerful points. Goal setting and clarity. Those are the two things that will totally make a difference in anyone's life, no matter what age they are. You know, seeking clarity and setting goals so they have something to get up for in the morning, you know. And then they have something to strive for during the day, something to strive for that week, something to strive for. And I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions, but something to strive for the next year, for the next 10 years, for the next 20 years, for the next 30 years, for the next 50 years. You have something to strive for. You know, you have clarity in it. You know, you look and say, you know what, next 10 years, this is what my imagination allows me to go out 10 years, and I can see myself doing this, doing that. Looking back, and it's one of the things we want to do tonight, looking back over our life, Sandy, I can recall, I was born in 1958, you were born in 1950, and we lived in the projects, in the Palm Lane projects. It was government housing for the veterans from World War II, and that's where we were born. And I know coming up in that kind of environment molded us, it shaped us for what we're doing today. Later we left those projects when my mom and dad went their separate ways, and she got married to our stepfather Otis Brown, and we ended up in Watts. We were actually in the Watts Willowbrook area all the time when we were born, even. But we were actually raised in the heart of Watts. And I can recall during those early years, coming into fifth, sixth grade, so I guess I was 10, 11, 12, around that age. And we lived in the worst part of Watts, called the front. And those listeners who are listening know Watts, know that the front was all the concentrated problems of Watts. It was focused and right there in that half a block radius called the front. And it used to weigh up on me. Oh, man, you know, the prostitutes, the pimps, the number running, the gambling, the wine, the whiskey, the drugs. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. And all of that was in this one little location. And it was excessive, you know. And it used to weigh on me. And I used to sit there on the front porch, on my front lawn, with a sloped front lawn. And I used to sit there and just take all of this in and just wonder, you know, why me? Why my family? Why my people? You know, why us? And those questions, and I'm leading up to what you just shared, Juan, those questions that I raised, I didn't know at the time that those questions would stay with me for the next 50 to 60 years. You know, it would stay with me and just kind of form and shape the direction of my life, and that they would ultimately be answered. you know. And Sandy and I just Sandy just mentioned that we had this activity a week and a half ago where I had an open house at a bed and breakfast Airbnb project that I have going right now, and she was there to do a book signing for two of her books. So we introduced ourselves and told part of our story, and I was sharing that. But this coming of age right now, I'm seeing the why in all of that. You know, the why in we as a whole part of humanity, whole section of humanity, whole section of the African people off of the African continent was allowed by the Creator, was allowed to come that long distance, 9,000 miles, whatever it was, across the ocean and end up in slavery for those 400 plus years, whatever, and endure the harshest treatment that any people have ever in the annals of human history. But the why, you know, why me, why us, you know, why all of this? And I ultimately began to see that the answer, as George McKenna, our high school math teacher back in Jordan High School back there in the 60s, he's now on school board in Los Angeles, but he used to always say that the answer to the problem is always in the problem. So the answer to the why is in the why. It took me deep into my thinking, I didn't know it then, but I was being very introspective, looking down, you know, asking those questions and waiting for the answers to come. And I got a little impatient at some point and got up and moved out and talked to Sandy and some of my friends who lived in the projects themselves, and the Nickerson Gardens there in Watts, and Imperial Courts, and over in the Jordan Downs. And we talked all, we've got to talking to each other, and we all felt the same kind of pressures, and we decided, well, look, we don't see anybody else doing this thing, so we're going to change the situation. We're going to change the impoverishment. We're going to change the glass and the trash all over the streets and on the lots and in the alleys. We're going to change the houses that need painting and need fixing up. You know, we're going to change the educational situation. We're going to change the broken family. We decided as children that we were going to change it ourselves. You know, and we the more we took on responsibility, you know, the deeper I know I had to go into the side of myself to pull out the energy, the insight, the foresight, the ideas, whatever we needed to keep moving forward. But that process never stopped. And so it was the thinking had to catch up with what we wanted to do. And so I just want to kind of reach back and kind of pull something from out of the past to kind of put it in perspective in terms of where we are right now. You and I, Sandy, in our life, Warren, same with you, and as an ethnic group, and bigger picture, as a humanity, as a country, as a nation.
As a humanity, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that is what it's going to take, is that looking in deep within, looking at the why and getting the answer from out of that. And that's how you develop and come up with healthy habits. Overcome or to handle, to deal with whatever it is that you're identifying as being a challenge within your life. So, yes, indeed.
And those words of wisdom from George McKenna, you know, that the answer to the problem is always in the problem.
Yes.
So we always have everything that we need. The Creator has never left us unprepared to deal with whatever was facing us. Never. Never
and
left
see, the
us.
Thing is, we're, other than a George McKenna in your life, everything else is telling us that the answer is on the outside of us. you know.
That's right.
That whatever you do, you got to look on the outside, and that's going to be where your redemption is, so to speak. So, yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And then think about the power in that, you know, how we empower ourselves. I hear Warren talking, and he does that on a daily basis. He empowers himself, you know, from the first thing
right.
in the morning. What you saying
right.
about that 95-year-old elder, he empowers himself first thing in the morning, you know.
That was so fascinating for me, yes.
Yes, yes, yeah. Speak for
so
long
we've got another call. Yes, indeed. We've got another caller, 843-250. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the discussion, please.
Hi, Sandy. This is Havana and calling from Atlanta.
Hey,
hi, Will. How y'all doing?
Hey, Havana. Doing good.
Doing
good.
Good.
Great.
I've been listening from the beginning, and by the way, Sandy, I love that song, Bernadette. That's one of my favorites. Thank you so much for selecting that. And I love everything that you're saying, and I've been feeling like that from day one in terms of knowing that there was something wrong with the system that we lived in. From a child, I asked so many questions. I used to annoy my father. Why this? Why that? Why does a white man got this? Why don't we have that? Why don't we have a business? From a child, I've always asked these questions. So as I started to grow up and started to educate myself after high school, beginning to dig deeper into our history, and I started to think about the things that were happening, how could I change them. So even with the health issue, I focused more on the health issues for myself, because I always wanted to live longer than we were expected to live, and I was always a tomboy, so I was always tunneling, breaking things on my body. So I said, no, I'm going to live long. But I've always challenged myself to eat healthy. Sometimes I regress, but I come back to that regimen, to balance. You've got to have a balanced life. You've got to have the four bodies balanced, the mental, the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical. So if any one of those are out of whack on me, it's everything shuts down almost. So meeting Sandy and meeting other people like you, I began to eat healthier. And I noticed a change in my body. When you eat healthy, when you're eating live food, you have more energy. So I get to the point now where when I put something in my body that doesn't belong in there, I can feel it immediately. It's no energizing. It's like it does something to me that's not normal. And that's the way life is. Your words, if you say something or if you hear something that's not normal, it does something to you. So your words can cut or they can heal. So we have to be careful what we say, what we do, how we think, what we eat, where we go. We have to have balance in everything that we do in life. And meeting people that talk about these balances, that are living this balance, it gives you the courage to continue. So everything that you're saying and doing, I really appreciate it. I'm grateful that there's something that we can do about our life. We can always change, constant changing. We can always change. And you're right, William. If there's a problem, the answer is within the problem. It's always been there. So that's why we need to band together and get this word out there that, you know, you can change. There's no such thing. You can really change your life. You can change the world by changing yourself. So I'm glad to be a part of a group of people who think like that, because it gives me the courage to go out and really do that. And I thank you and me and the next caller that came on before me, I really appreciate what he had to say about
Warren, yes.
Exercising, Warren, yes, and eating healthy
yes.
and doing your meditation and the praying. And I do that. I write in journals. I write my thoughts down. And my day is better when I write and pray and just think about, you know, changing for the better. So I really appreciate you guys and what you're doing with the radio.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, you bring so much to the table. And that one thought about just eating living food, again, Dr. Warrell was the chiropractor I made reference to a little while back. He's transitioned, but he had a major impact on my family's life. And he used to always tell us that the closest you could get to a plant being taken out of the ground and ingested, the more nutrient value it has, the more it's going to do for you. It has more life in it. And so the longer it stays out of the ground, it starts losing its life force.
Yes.
And that, oh, God, that made so much sense to me. And he said, and the hotter you cook it and the harder you fry it, you just take all of the life out of the food. And it has no nutritional value whatsoever. So that's, and the same thing about words. They say that when you get a thought, a good thought, you should act on it right away.
Yes.
The longer you wait or let it procrastinate with acting on those good thoughts, those good impulses, it loses its life force. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle. Mm-hmm. Same principle. But that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing for us to really take in and just cherish, you know, those ideas about the physical food and the mental food as well, and the spiritual food as well, you know. You feel this urge to go or to do something, that's the time to act. That's the time to move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to comment quickly on the drugs, taking pills. My mom was 90 when she made a transition, and before that, like 5 years before that, when I moved back to South Carolina to help take care of her, she was on 12 medications. So I researched all her medication and realized that she didn't need, like, most of them. So I worked with the doctor and annoyed him to the point where he took her off of 10 of them and left her on 2. And before she was off of those pills, she was like a zombie, no energy, and it wasn't like her because she spent most of her life outside in her garden and doing this. And so when I saw her, I said, no, this is not the way that she's supposed to go out. And so once I eliminated those pills from her diet, she started to gain her weight back. She started to get some life and go outside and work a little bit. But I had to fight with her doctor to get her off of those pills, and I did the research on the medication, and it's like I had 10 pages of what was, you know, the problems from the medication, the side effects, and it told it in systems, like your what it does to your nervous system, your bone structure, and so you don't get that when you get your pill. They give you a little bit of the things that it may cause, but when you start to really research and break it down, you see this medication is poison. All of it is poison.
And that's what I thought, Heavenall, with the women, you know, because all three of those women, two at 93 and one at 90, they're taking multiple pills, and I know that, you know. And so there's a good book that I'm in the middle of. It's called Health Confidential by Dr. Al Sears. And he says that exactly what you did, do the research on the medication, because a lot of the medication that they prescribe to people is not for the symptom that they have at all, you know. And then you have all of these side effects. I remember a cousin of mine, he checked his pills once, and they were for, for seizures, and he wasn't having seizures, so he stopped taking it. You know, he said, "Well, this is insane." But so often we take it because our trusted doctor prescribes it to us, and we think it's okay. But like you said, it's destroying different organs in our body. So
And I was he was shocked to find out that I didn't take any kind of medication. I was in my early 50s. He said, "You're not on not one medication?" I said, "No."
I know.
And he said he found that hard to believe. He said he really finds it, because he's the one who's pushing other people to go on this and go on that. And I said, "Why do you find it hard to believe that if you got the right thoughts, eating healthy, exercising, that you don't need medication?" And he said he just found that really hard to believe, because everybody that he know is on medication.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
past
yeah.
the year, age of 50.
No, and see, that's the magic age. 50, when you hit that, you're supposed to be at least on one pill. And you know, if you don't be careful, they're going to have you on five. So we're going to take a quick break. You guys have inspired me to play this. So I'm just going to play it, and then I'll give you the history about it.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food. And we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food. And we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat the junk. We don't know what we eat.
It's not food at all.
And we eat the junk.
Because we get it out of a grocery store, and it's not food at all. I know I was telling my dad, because he liked the Pringles potato chips. Like, Daddy, you ever thought about how they get each one of those potato chips in that exact same shape? They never crumble. He's like, nah, I ain't gave much thought to that. I'm like, well, maybe they're manufactured in a laboratory somewhere. You cannot get a potato like that and fill up all those cans that they sell those potato chips in. Come on, Daddy. We've allowed the pressure of a materialistic society to take us away from the things that are really important.
And we eat the junk.
Like being there with your children versus working two jobs.
And we eat the junk.
So that you have this fine car.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all. What was such an eye-opener for me was when my grandchildren were small. So we're talking about 12, 14 years ago. And that was when I first started the juicing. Natural apples and carrots and celery. And my grandchildren were like, Grandma, what is this? It's not clear. You didn't buy this out the store. Oh, Grandma. They didn't know. They just had no idea what natural looked like. So then I started boiling fish. My mom don't cook like this. Can you go teach her how to cook? Because this tastes good. We don't take the time to prepare healthy meals.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all. So now, I read this article that said one of the reasons why people are so overweight is that there's no nutritional value.
And we eat the junk.
So your body is craving vegetables. So you go and you get a hamburger, a diet soda, and some french fries. And you eat this, and your stomach is full at that moment. But just in a short period of time, your body is like, hey,
and we eat the junk.
I'm hungry again. I'm hungry again.
And we eat the junk.
So you go out and now you get potato chips and, I don't know, candy bar.
And we eat the junk.
That was called We Eat the Junk, and yours truly reported that. And it was just a testament, and you guys just was talking so about, you know, the foods that we eat and the state of the food. And that's just a reminder that just because you buy it in a supermarket or a grocery store or what a Walmart or whatever you want to call it, just because you buy it in the grocery section does not mean that it is food that is good for you to consume. So I just wanted to make that statement right there. So we're talking about developing healthy habits, and so we're really talking about what motivates us to change the things that we see in our life that we don't particularly like or think it's healthy for us. So we've got Warren, who says he did drugs back in the 60s, smoked cigarettes, but now he's on a quest, a daily quest to exercise, pray, meditate, drink good clean water, and to encourage as many people as he can. He makes posts on Facebook every single morning. There's something there for me. Sometimes I'm not on Facebook every morning, but he is, so I appreciate that. And then we have Havanaugh that came on and was talking about how her mom was on 12 different medications. She was a zombie. But once she went to take care of her and research the pills that her mom was taking, she was able to have the doctor to eliminate 10 of those 12 pills that her mom was consuming, which was putting her into that zombie state. And then we have, of course, my brother, William Saphir, who's been bringing on the history part of the lesson to us and making the connection to the dots. And so it's not just about the eating, and it's just not about the exercising, but it's about the words that you choose and the company that you keep. It's the thoughts that you think. The most important is the thoughts that you think that determines what you're going to see in your reality. And so this has been such a lively, lively discussion. And so I'm going to turn it back over to the group and to continue the dialogue about developing healthy habits and living a higher quality of life. And so what say you, gang?
Well, let me just jump in for a minute or two here. I went back to the early stages when we were first born, coming up through life. Just briefly looked at that. Let me just touch on where we are right now and where we're headed just a little bit. I'll touch on that just a little bit. When we had the open house, I shared with the group. We had, 35 to, I don't know, maybe 50 people there. It's quite a few people. And they all came to help us bless the house and get information as to what we were doing and to signed copies of Sandy's books. Had a wonderful time. One of the things that were put on the table was the evolution of from that time that we were asking the why back in Watts, you know, back in the early 60s, mid 60s, what could we do to change our situation? Well, there's actually been you just touched on it, Sandy. It's been a methodology, a science that we've lived, we've experienced, not knowing just what to do, but we just start doing and researching, and little by little we start putting the pieces together as to, you know, how do you change your life? How do you change your habits? How do you change your thinking? How do you change your results? And one of the things that one of those answers to that why that I saw manifest, and I saw the Warren was talking about setting goals, and it reminded me of having a vision. And I had a vision when I was over there in the projects over in Palm Lane as a young child, that I wanted to build my own house someday. I started off wanting to be an artist. And I saw the artists were, I heard that most of the artists were broke. So I said, well, maybe I better be an architect. I shifted my energy to that. I said, well, one day I'm going to build my own house. So I did get involved in construction in later years. And then And then finally, there was that question came about, you know, what can we do to change this thing? Well, after all those years of experience of living in several different efforts to establish community life with people coming together and working on a farm there in California in Palmdale, Lancaster area with Mr. Grant and growing food and doing all those different things over the years, homeschooling and the children, what I finally realized was that thing that the most essential element in bringing about the change, yes, the decision is important, the goal setting is important, selecting the right words is important, but there has to be a support system. There has to be a supportive environment, because outside of that, there's all negativity and everything in society, in the commercial environment, will manipulate you back into your old habit, to your old way of thinking, old way of doing. If you don't create an environment that's going to support your new visualization, your new vision, your new habits that you're forming, the new thoughts that you're taking on, the new decisions that you're making. If you don't have if you don't create an environment to support you in that, then the bigger environment is just too much. So I finally came to the realization that the work is done in the home.
The change
for the individual, the change for the society, the change for the nation, the change for the state, the change for the world, the change for humanity happens in the home. If it doesn't happen in the home, it's not going to happen. So what we're about now is focusing on ways to create model home environments so that people can say, okay, this is the ultimate of what I can do. I don't have to be a multimillionaire. I have to be a billionaire to have everything that I need to help support the highest quality of life that I can imagine. I don't have to have all that money to do it. You know, I have to have some money so I can't be existing on handouts, you know. But through the effort, through the thinking, through the collective effort, we can create environments for ourselves that will help us support and maintain and sustain the direction for this continuous growth process of getting better and better and better and better, loving ourselves, taking care of ourselves, thinking better, eating better, having better exercise habits, better sleeping habits, all those things that add to good feeling, to good thoughts, to good relationships. We can create the kind of environment that can make that happen. I just want to share that. I think to stir up some thought right now as we move forward in our conversation.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify that when you talk about home, it a home is one person in a dwelling. It could be. So the home is wherever you reside. It doesn't have to be multiple people to make it a home. So I just wanted to clarify that for people to understand.
Absolutely.
And even taking that on a personal level, Sandy, any time that you want to make a change, you begin with yourself first anyway. So it goes deeper. It's one, right, you make that change with yourself first. You make that change, and then you present it to like-minded people. Because if you presented it to someone who has no idea that they're, first of all, that they're still enslaved, you're wasting your time. So you want to try to connect with people of like mind to make that change. And that's where I've been hitting my head against the wall, trying to get my family first to listen to eating habits, changing their eating habits, changing their thinking, building something, doing something for the community. So it got to the point where I just stopped dealing with my family, and I started seeking another family to listen or to do things together, to make a change.
And sometimes, it has to go that way. But trust me, the family, your birth family, your blood family, they're watching. They're watching every move. Trust me on that one.
Yeah.
Well, they do come back. They do. My sister came back 10 years later and said that, you know, she said, I decided that I'm not going to eat meat anymore because it's bad for my health. But when I was telling her, it's like she was always getting angry with me. Or if she would overhear a conversation I would have with someone, she would get angry. And she said, why are you always talking about meat, meat, meat? I said, because it's important for people to know what goes into the meat, that the meat is unhealthy for their bodies, and that your digestive system can't handle that load that we're putting on it. But 10 years later, she came back. Mm-hmm. You know, the light came on, and she said, well, I got to stop eating meat because it's affecting me. But they do listen, but they're going to fight you in the beginning because it's strange to them. It's very strange to them.
And so for those that are thinking about the possibility of getting a handle on their life, just expect that. You know, the people who are closest to you, they know to you from yesterday, and they were comfortable with who you were yesterday, and they want to hold on to that. And the love is still there, you know, but that's you will often get your greatest resistance. But it's so important, and I think this is where some kind of belief system, whatever your belief system is, you know, some kind of belief system and something bigger and higher than yourself, something that in this wonderful ordered, structured creation universe, it didn't just haphazardly happen. there was a very powerful, powerful, powerful intelligence that organized it, structured it, So whatever you believe in, something bigger, much bigger than yourself, much more powerful than yourself, that helps for you to take the pressure off of your thinking that you have to change somebody else. You don't.
You sure don't. Just change.
The change comes when you change.
Exactly.
That don't necessarily mean that they're going to start thinking different or doing something different the moment you do, but when you change, you have a different impact, a different influence on your environment. I don't care where you are.
Mm-hmm. And people are watching you. They are watching you.
They are watching you. They are definitely watching you. And they want
what you want. They want what you got.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So just take that as motivation. You know, just knowing, you know, you want the best for them. And if you're ever going to help them get the best, it's going to be from your continually doing better and better yourself.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
So I want to bring this point. Last week, our guest was talking about mental parasites. And I really got into his dialogue. And for those of you that didn't hear the show last week, just go into the archives, and it was Dr. B. Serious with Eradicating Emotional, Mental, and Physical and Spiritual Parasites. Excellent, excellent show. But from the suggestions and the ideas that he gave us last week, I've been really observing myself from just a very different perspective with regard to my emotional state. And because although I already know this, the way he said it just really kind of struck me in a way that has me looking at things a lot deeper emotionally, or, you know, with my emotional state. If it's not love, then it doesn't matter, you know. So when you come from a place of love, then your energy heals and harmonizes everything that's around you. I've heard this a lot of times, but it was brought to me last week in such a perfect timed message. And so as we observe our own actions, you know, and we get angry because somebody cut in front of us, and they do that so much here in L.A., I mean, you got to be driving on the defensive all the time. But, you know, so to stay in that state of love, it's like being a constant monitor of your own mental and emotional states, right? But it becomes easier and easier. So even if I slip a little bit, I can get right back on it, you know, and just sending out love. And being just a peacekeeper within myself allows them mm-hmm. for that to be a peacekeeper with all situations around me. And so I just really love that. And I thank him so much for bringing that, because when we observe our actions, and all you got to say is it of love? And if it's not, then you know it's not really at your highest vibrational energy. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, because it's been funny for me. So.
Parasites could be something that you create, or people that are in your life that's creating the mental parasites?
It's more you creating them. You know, we create what appears in our life.
Okay.
It's all of our doing. Because we call whatever it is that's in our life, we're calling that into existence with our thoughts. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if there's something in your life that you feel needs to be changed, then change your thought around it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because I know there are energy parasites. There are people that would zap your energy if you allow them to. It's like their parasites.
There you go. Yeah.
You
know,
so
there,
you have to be careful about those people as well.
I've been studying some Qigong here recently, and my Qigong instructor was showing us a technique, and he calls it inner smile. And
yeah.
and he told us to get the broadest smile we possibly can. Well, you actually, you try it, you know, everyone who's listening. The broadest smile you can get, you do it right now. You know, show some teeth, a real broad smile. You know, just show some teeth. You know, really, really get it through the smile. Yeah. Now, relax the muscles in your face, but feel, you know, keep the same feeling inside. Notice how it feels when you had this broad smile with your teeth showing, but relax the muscles so you can, in your face so you can't see your teeth, so you can't see the smile on the outside, but smile on the inside.
Okay.
If you practice that, it takes some practice to get used to it. If you practice that, you can be in the middle of that L.A. traffic, and this fool will cut right in front of you. and you go into your inner smile like that. Listen, it makes it so much easier for you to get back into this inner state of love.
Okay.
Powerful technique. A powerful technique, you know, and that's just, you have to have strategies like that, you know. People coming at me, you know, throwing darts and daggers and everything else, you know. How can I remain in this state? Even if Sandy said, even if I get out of it temporarily, how can I get right back on target and in the state that I prefer, that I choose? You know, I don't choose. If they choose misery, I don't choose to go there with them. And if I react to them, you know, they get mad at me, I get mad at them back. You know, they slap me, I slap them back. Then I'm right there with them. You know? But But if I can raise myself to a high energy level, than what they're at, you know. And maintain that, and even if I get off temporarily, I can get right back on it. Then, and the more I practice that, the more I can maintain even around difficult situations and difficult people. I can still maintain.
That really makes sense, because it goes along with the you can't solve a problem at the level of that problem. You have to rise higher than that to solve it.
Absolutely,
exactly.
You're right. Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Speaking
for me,
of
William, it's just a matter of saying the word love, and that's you know, just because I understand. So whatever works for you, you know, I like that strategy that you gave us. So you know, with the smiling face, that's good.
Another one is to just breathe. breathe. Just breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, just take in fresh air. And kind of extend your stomach when you do it, you know, instead of breathing all up in your chest. Extend your stomach and just breathe. Breathe real deep, you know.
That's
and
right.
Extend it, yeah, and then let it out through real slow through your nose.
Yeah.
Real slow. And all of these strategies will just help us maintain the state. We can choose the life that we want. And the things you mentioned earlier, Warren, about when you were talking about setting goals and clarity.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm finding now really, really helpful, and I'm trying to really focus on that now, is getting real clear. What is this life that I want? What is this state of mind that I want? What is this state of heart that I want? You know, what is it really? You know, how what does it look like? What does it feel like? You know, if I was in a state of mind, in a state of heart, you know, and if my soul was completely at peace and satisfied, what would that be? I mean, how would that feel? How would that look? Well,
it looks beautiful and it feels good. And you know, I experience that every day when I wake up. I walk out here with my chin high, and I have all the self-esteem is so high, my confidence, and I'm just happy. And when I see people behave the way that I wouldn't want to, I just always come to this. People are people, and there's all different types, you know, and that person might have reasons for it, but I'm not going to let them suck my energy, you know. And I just keep it real, you know. I always think, you know what I think about? I think about the consequences of if I did something in retaliation or if I react to it, what will that bring? It's going to bring a whole lot of unnecessary stuff. So I always go to this, be rational. Think about the consequences, you know, and it keeps me at peace. When I'm on the road, when you're talking about being on the road driving and somebody cuts you off, I slow it down. I'm not in a hurry.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
I stay out of the way. Oh, yeah, William,
yeah,
I want to ask you something before I forget. Are you still in California?
I'm in Atlanta now.
How long you been out of California?
Oh, God, it's been a while, almost 30 years now.
Oh, okay. There was a William Armstead that lived, I think, up in San Pedro.
Okay. No. Before I came to Atlanta, I've been in Atlanta almost 2 years. I was in Texas for 20-some-odd years. Yeah, almost 30 years. And then I moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
There's one thing you said, Warren, brought something to my attention. When you react again, you operate on the same level, the same vibrational level that the people who are acting all out of sorts. If you react to them, so the key is not to react, but the key is to respond. Big difference between reacting and responding. Stephen Covey says that there's a space between something occurring and your doing something or responding to it. There's a space that you have, and in that space you can choose. You know, you have time to think. You can choose how how you going to respond to it? How you going to act? You can choose.
That's right.
You have the ability to choose. You know.
That's right.
And when you don't take that space, don't take advantage of that space, and actually choose, then you give away your power.
Yes.
And choosing to be rational.
Peace,
brother.
Yeah.
We always have a choice.
We got five minutes,
so kind of bring your thoughts to a conclusion, and if you have something to say, go right ahead, but I just want to remind you of the time we have left.
Okay, great. Then let me drop these 2 points, and then I'll pass. in terms of developing this crystal clear, getting this clarity on what this perfect peace looks like, you can draw from two things. You can think about the time that, and this can be difficult sometimes, but think about the time when you were the ages between birth and about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about the soundness of your life, the wholeness of your life, how complete it was, how connected you were, how balanced you were, how confident you were, how courageous you were, how certain you were, how much freedom you had. You know, this is before, you know, you started getting all this influence from mama and daddy and sister and brother and cousins and neighbors and the TV and all the rest. In those early years when you were still in that perfect creation that God created you in, you hadn't had so much input from the world. Just think about that as a model of what you're striving for now. The other thing I wanted to share was also think about all the laws that you can draw from studying Mother Nature, especially the plants, the trees, and the plants, especially those. Okay, I'll pass.
Thank you, William. Beautiful show, beautiful conversation. Appreciate every bit of it. And I want to thank you, Sandy, as well. It's always a pleasure. Y'all family.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
thank you.
We are family. We are family. Including you, we all are family.
We all are family. That's right.
We all are family.
No question about that. Yeah. It's been a nice show.
Thank you for your input, Warren.
Yeah. Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Sandy.
Yes, thank you. Kavanaugh, you got any closing thoughts?
Yes, I wanted to leave this quote that I read out of the book of Letting Go, because I used to have problems letting go of things, people, places, or things, and I wanted to read this real quick. It says, the secret of letting go not only holds the key for ending what is unwanted, but locked within the same supreme secret is the beginning of your new life, the birth of a new nature that never has to hold on to anything because it is already everything.
Hmm.
I just want to leave that with you because I have
always
had a
problem. Would you read that again, please?
Okay, it says, the secret of letting go not only holds the keys for ending what is unwanted, but locked within the same supreme secret is the beginning of your new life, the birth of a new nature that never has to hold on to anything because it is already everything.
Wow.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it has definitely been a pleasure listening and getting good advice. Thank you so much, Sandy, for inviting me. And thank you, William and Warren.
Thank you for being a part.
Thank you for being a part. Enriched the conversation. You and Warren, you've certainly enriched the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, I will tune in next week, Sandy. Thank you so much, and I love all of you.
I love you too. Love y'all. Thank you. Love you.
So we just want to
make sure that you understand that developing healthy habits, living a higher quality of life, all begins first with your thought, your decision to do that. And then once you make that decision, then things will just fall into place for you. Resources will become available, what you need, support, encouragement, all of that will be right there at your fingertips. So we pray with you and support you and encourage you in doing and making whatever changes you say you would like to make in your life to have a healthier lifestyle. And remember, it is easy. As we've said, it's just a matter, it's mind over matter. So decide, set your goals, make your mind up what it is that you want, and go for it. We're back here. We're cheering for you all the way to the finish line. And be blessed, and Merry Christmas, everybody. And I'll see you next Tuesday. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, holidays. Good night, y'all. Good night.